Today on Real Radio.
How many of you have come through a crisis or through things in your life God has brought you through and you never would have taken that path? You would have said, you know what, I would have gone down here, I would have made a right, and I would have enjoyed this thing, and I would have done that, and then I would eventually come this way. And yet God in His wisdom knows what kind of lump of clay we are.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2:10, which is really a continuation of Paul's thought in the previous two verses. This is one of the most clear and powerful proclamations that salvation is of the Lord. In other words, it is to be credited to our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called God's Amazing Work.
Would you grab your Bibles tonight and open them to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tonight, and we will complete verse 10 tonight. And you know what? Watch out, because I just might go off to verse 15 if you don't. No, what a great verse this is of the Bible. Tremendous. We're talking about God's amazing work, and the book of Ephesians speaks about God's work. It reminds us in a roundabout way, though, in the earlier verses of this chapter, that concerning works, it has nothing to do with us as being Christians working our way into heaven. In verses 8 and 9, it says that it's not by works, that salvation does not come by works, but by the grace of God, and we experience God's grace by another gift that He gives us, and that is faith. Faith to believe. The salvation is of the Lord. He gives the invitation, and we respond to His overture of love. And even in that response of ours, God gets all of the glory. He alone in heaven will be praised. He will be exalted and extolled, and none of us will be walking around up there saying, I'm so glad that I was so wise to pick God and not reject Him. You won't be able to do that. It just won't happen. You will be walking around heaven with me saying, I can't believe that we're here. And I can't believe that He was so good and gracious enough to us to give us the ability to choose Him. He's such a wonderful God. And this is a great, great book of the Bible teaching us that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're sitting here right now and you've come in here and you plopped yourself down at the end of a day and you might be thinking, oh man, finally, you know, the kids are probably in the bathtub right now at home. I've got a little couple hours here relaxing and I'm just going to veg out here in the sanctuary. Well, listen, the fact of the matter is you're seated in the heavenlies while you're sitting right here. There's a greater reality. We think so much of this reality that we're in, that what we touch and feel is all that there is. Well, this is not all there is. The moment somebody dies, they experience the real reality, and that will be a reality the Bible speaks about of eternity. You know, the Bible says that every person ever created will live eternally, will experience a life eternal. Some people, according to Daniel chapter 12 and John 5 verses 28 and 29, it says that they will experience an eternal existence in hell, alienated from God by their own choice, but very much alive. Or you'll be in heaven, experiencing an everlasting life of abundant life in Christ. And that's a very serious thing. But tonight, as believers, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And that's a reality according to God, concerning God. And that's a tremendous thing. The declaration of in the heavenlies or in Him that you see in this book or in God demonstrates the passion that Paul had to convince the church at Ephesus that they were the people of God and that they were removed from all of the holes now and the strongholds of the world. And what dominates this author, Paul's joy in this entire book, is the fact that he says so often, more than anything, in Christ, that we are in fact in Christ. And the word means to be hidden in Him. I looked that word up today just to be blessed again. To be hidden in Him. It carries with it the thought on the earthly realm of somebody being tucked inside like a mama or a grandma's robe. Just kind of running up there and hiding in the little cleft of that robe, peeking out. You ever seen little kids do that? When somebody scares them, they'll go running behind maybe their mom's dress or daddy's knees, and they'll hang on back there. That's kind of like being hidden in Christ. You are inside of Christ tonight. If you're a born-again Christian, Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Are you born again tonight? Do you know it? Well, here's a clue. If you're born again, you know that you're going to go to heaven. Not by any works that you've done, but because the Holy Spirit imparted into your heart bears witness with God's Spirit that you are a son or daughter of God. It's a fact. It's amazing. I know that I'm going to go to heaven based upon what Jesus has done more than I know for sure about my last name. Rumor has it about my last name, if you do a search on the last name of H-I-B-B-S, you find out that it's later on it was spelled H-I-B-B-Z, coming out of Europe. Well, if that's a flaw, well, you know, how do I know for sure that's my name? I don't know. I take it for granted that my name is traced down. It's a correct name. But this one thing I know for sure, that God the Holy Spirit lives inside my heart. And you know that too, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus tonight. But we're hidden in Christ. Listen to this. Colossians 3:1 tells us, "For then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life now is hidden in Christ, in God." Isn't that great? I brought you something that you wouldn't forget to show you what this means. I have right here Boris Yeltsin in my possession. And those of you who have been to Russia, and many of you haven't been, and you have these anyway, because people have brought these back to you. This is a Matryoshka doll. Marina, is that right? Matryoshka? Close enough for an American, I guess. And in this doll are other dolls, but you don't know that. But if I were to peel this guy open and hurt your ears, you would see that there is Mikhail Gorbachev there. See, he's got his little mark on his head. And you don't know by looking that there's anything else other than Mikhail Gorbachev, but you're starting to pick up maybe a little clue here that even Mikhail's head might come off. And right in here, we have a guy that I'll never forget. Watching him on the news as a little kid, had the greatest eyebrows ever in the world, and that is Leonid Brezhnev. Remember him? Remember watching him. Very powerful man in his speaking. But you keep going, and you keep going, and right here we've got Stalin. And if you keep going, there you have Lenin. And you would have never known if I held up that first Matryoshka here of Yeltsin that anything else would follow, because each one was hidden inside of the other. And Christ has hidden us in Him. When the world looks at us, it looks at all of our flaws and all of our parts that come apart. And it can make a judgment on us based upon what it sees. And it ridicules. And it points out. And we even ourselves, maybe more often than not, our worst critic, we point back at ourselves and we say, man, look at this flaw. Look at this problem with me. But the fact of the matter is, as a Christian tonight, you are hidden in Christ so that when you look at Boris Yeltsin in that little Matryoshka, you don't see Brezhnev until you get on the inside. Well, when Satan, even God Himself, the Father, When he looks at you now, if you are a Christian, he looks at you as one who is hidden in Christ. You are now inside, behind, tucked into the veil of the Lord Jesus. And when God sees you, he sees you as holy and as pure as Christ. That is Bible theology. It's an amazing thing. I know you don't feel like it, but by faith, you have to understand that that's what the Bible teaches us, that we are in Christ. And if that be true in your life, salvation has come to you by grace through faith. And that's a very important thing. Last week in our study, we saw what does it mean to be His workmanship. Look with me in verse 10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So last time we saw, what did it mean to be His workmanship? Well, we understand, first of all, that God has begun the work in us, that we didn't start it ourselves. God starts His work in our lives, sovereignly. He does that. And that's a good thing. It's His work, and He'll complete it. That, to me, is amazing. I think only God can complete the job. Even the jobs that we think we complete. No sooner we complete it, and what, an earthquake comes and cracks the wall that we just plastered up. Or you get that wax job done on that car, and you pull in the parking lot, and some kid drives the chopping cart right into it. Everything's just falling apart. No matter how much you invest in it, just kind of coming apart at the seams. God starts a job, and not only does He complete it, He takes it to full maturity, and that is in heaven. So the finished work of Christ, practically, in our lives, will not fully take place. Are you ready for this? Until you die. The day you die is the greatest day of your life. It's true. Oh man, what a morbid thing to say. Hey man, for the believer, death is no problem but a door. An absolute door. And the moment, Paul the Apostle said, the moment we die, we're immediately in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that good news? I can't wait. Instantly. And God's finished work will be all complete in that moment in our lives. We are His workmanship. We saw that the word workmanship is the word poema. That means poem. It's where we get the word poem in the English. And just to give you the definition of it again, it says, to make from the thought, to manufacture from an idea, to create from a passion, a work of art, a poem, or a song. We are His workmanship. We're His song. We're His poem. We're His passion. Isn't that amazing? We're His passion. If I were God and I would have looked into the future and I would have saw that Adam and Eve were going to blow up in the garden, I would have said, forget this. Let's go to plan two. But it was God's passion to redeem us. He went along with the thing completely, even though man had his own sovereign ability to choose that God built into him. God saw that in time that Adam and Eve would choose against Him. And yet He still went with this work of His. So this poema, this work of art, is an expression of the Creator God that we know. It said last week that for we are His. We saw that, what does it mean to be His workmanship? Well, first of all, that we're His. Second of all, we saw that we are in Christ, that Jesus is really the pedestal by which we are displayed, Christ living His life out through us by the Holy Spirit. And we saw also last week, what does it mean to be of His workmanship? And that is God the Holy Spirit is the power that works within us. And so we're going to be going on to the second point on the latter half of this verse, which now is, what is my responsibility to my Creator? If He has made me, what am I to do about it? Do I do anything about it? Well, it's very important, and we do. It says here, in the middle of the verse, it says that we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ for good works. Right at the part there of verse 10 in the middle. Being created in Christ. The word created here in the Greek means through an idea. And the idea of an originator, a manufacturer, yes. But it was first in his mind. And that creator is the one who owns. I like the root word. The root word means to acquire by any means or at all costs. Isn't that great? We were created in Christ, but at a tremendous cost. The whole world, the Bible teaches, was alienated and is alienated from God, and it is wayward from God. But we have been created in Christ. That is the redemptive work of God through Jesus Christ. We are now in Christ, and God has begun that work in us. Created in Him, in Christ. It's good news. It begins to paint this picture. If we're His workmanship, and if we are created in His mind, then by His works in us, it puts to mind, it puts to the easel that we talked about last time, what would be the craftsmanship, the work. And you think of a potter. And a potter sits down, and God speaks of Himself as a potter. He speaks about Himself as a potter in the book of Jeremiah and in the book of Romans. And He says there that He begins to work the clay. So think about this for a second. It's interesting, isn't it? That Adam and Eve were molded out of the dust of the earth, which, if you add a certain amount of water, you'll have some clay. Just add water, and you got this clay. And God begins to shape, puts a couple nostrils there, and an eye, and molds this guy together. It's interesting. But the potter at his wheel, he'll use water, he'll use tools of variation. That means he'll pick up a tool and do a certain thing on that piece of clay. So he'll begin to move his foot, and he'll take up the clay, and he'll literally, listen, he'll put water to it, and he'll even spit on it to get some texture or some ability to mold a texture into it. And he gets this thing going, and he's got that wheel going. He starts molding this vase or this ashtray, right? Didn't we all make an ashtray? You're there in, you know, ninth, third, fourth grade, whatever it is, and you're making, oh, Mom, it's an ashtray. If it failed as the, you know, the space shuttle, it turns out to be an ashtray every time. And God doesn't do that. He's got a plan. And He begins to move the wheel, puts the clay on there, and begins to mold and shape a life. He's very good at it. In Romans chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to Him who formed it, 'Why have you made me this way?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay pottery for a noble purpose or for a common purpose?" Doesn't the potter have that right? Can you imagine? This guy's got a wheel going, he's having a good day, he's molding this thing, and he, you know, I'm going to make this Coke bottle. And he makes this thing, this Coke bottle thing, and the Coke bottle says, "Man, what are you doing? I want to be like the vase over there on the fireplace. Make me like that, will you?" "Well, wait a minute. I don't like the tone of your voice. And I think I'm in control here." "Yeah, well, I want to be one of those things instead." And you know, right about then, he grabs the neck of that Coke bottle and just squeezes it off shut, and and begins to plop that thing around, and he makes a dish out of it. The potter's got that right. He's got that ability. But in the mind of the potter, he knows what he's going to have before he ever starts, because he's a craftsman. Your life, God knew before you were ever born. He knew exactly where you would be tonight, in what situation, and in what place, and where you're at. He knows this. It's interesting to me that God does whatever He wants to do. He can place a handle. He can place a spout. He can do whatever He wants to do in a life. And I find this so amusing, and I think you do too, when somebody who doesn't know God has an event take place in their life, they'll tell you all the days that you're talking to them, "I don't believe in God." Or, "When I meet God, I'll tell Him a thing or two." And then an event happens in their life, a crisis. And what do? They begin to curse God, who they don't believe in, which always cracks me up. Or, when they say, "I'll tell Him, you know, what's going on in the end," they'll say, "What are you doing? God, what are you doing in my life? Oh man, I thought you didn't believe in Him." "Well, now I do. And I'm scolding Him." "Well, I thought you knew all the answers. I thought you were going to instruct Him in the end. What are you asking Him for?" Man has got inside of him this emptiness, what some have said, a God-shaped hole. And until Christ comes in your life, there's this hole. But even that emptiness, there is still within the heart of man to question God. It's still there. This pottery that He has made. But in this potter, he has built in certain attributes and certain things that we are solely responsible for. It's interesting, in ancient times and cultures, handcrafted wares were marked. And the civilization that it was in relation to, if it was a very poor civilization, the pottery was very poor and plain. If it was a very wealthy civilization, the pottery was very colorful and very elaborate. And I found this interesting, that very expensive pottery had handles on it. And they said the reason why it was expensive, because the person carrying the bucket or carrying the pot had more control to do with that pottery that they wanted to, because it had handles on it. They had an ability to pour or to scoop or whatever, and it was sold for a greater amount of value. Now, that makes sense. But it led to the person owning it to have more control. And I think in all of our lives, God has placed like a handle in our lives. And some of our handles, I don't think we recognize as handles, as being a piece of work of God. You know, God can get a grip on you in the midst of the most unusual and strange circumstances that you've ever thought of or maybe have not thought of. How many of you have come through a crisis or through things in your life God has brought you through and you never would have taken that path? You would have said, you know what, I would have gone down here, I would have made a right, and I would have enjoyed this thing, and I would have done that, and then I would eventually come this way. And yet God in His wisdom knows what kind of lump of clay we are. And He steers us down paths, puts us on a wheel, slaps us together, puts a wad of spit in there, pours some water on it, slaps it around, spins the wheel, begins to mold and shape and pull and stretch and plop it down again. And you're saying, what's going on? You think your world's gone mad. These last couple of weeks, going through this verse 10 and just kind of eating this up in my heart, I have been extremely relaxed about things that have happened in my life. I have felt so relaxed recently that I have felt a little guilty. You know that feeling? And yet, because of verse 10, I'm thinking, I'm your workmanship. You must have a plan. You must want to put, you know, a little dimple right here on my forehead or a crowbar or whatever. You know, Lord, what's going on? And then it's been neat because the tendency has been peace. It's been really nice. Not worrying about it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the precious and familiar passage Ephesians 2:10. In fact, this is a mini-series called God's Amazing Work, which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do wish to remind you of our current offer, which is valuable in more ways than one. It's Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, its political climate, even things like first century Jewish expressions. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. When you get in touch with us, be it by calling, by clicking, or by writing, just ask for it by name, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, it can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.